So coming up next to the stage, until last month, which as I mentioned, was a very sad show and it made me a sack of a man. Until last month, only one person has ever made me cry to Your Stories. And that person is coming to the stage right now. He is the Captain Baxter on Improvised Star Trek. He just produced a wonderful podcast called The Probe, which is like a serial-type drama about a high school election. And I don't know, you guys heard of like Hello from the Magic Tavern, whatever. They were fucking on Comedy Bang Bang, dude. That's incredible. It's my favorite fucking podcast. Anyway, please welcome to the stage Matt Young.
I want to say thank you to Eric specifically. Let's give him a big round of applause. And for giving me a place to come and do stuff, you know, for all of this time. I think I've known you guys all this time that you've been doing it, and you should be very proud of these 5 years. It's a milestone, and I am about to hit a milestone next year. Very early, just a couple months away. I moved to Chicago after I graduated college in February of 1997. 20 years. So this is 5 years at a time, those 20 years, in a series of moments. 1997 to 2001. The thing I remember most clearly from this time is the first time I ever rode an L train. If some of you mentioned being from Central Illinois and growing up outside of the city, and if you had that experience, you may have had a similar experience to me where the first time you got on an L train, you thought to yourself, I'm on the train. I'm a big city person now, taking the train downtown to work. How fancy of me. I will stand here and I will hold the pole. The inordinate amount of pride I took in that cannot be overstated. But it was also a tough time. I remember not having any money, having trouble even paying rent, selling CDs when there were still CDs, and people would buy them back from you and then resell them? That was part of the economy? It was odd. It was an odd time. I dipped my toe into theater and I did a few things here and there, but for that period, I was really just trying to figure out how to get anywhere south of Belmont, north of Irving Park, east of Broadway, or west of Racine, because that was my entire world. Now, from 2002 to 2006, things loosened up a bit. I found my footing. You know, I'd had 5 years. I started doing comedy, seriously. I got serious about it. Ugh. What a stupid fucking thing to do. But I'm kidding. It was great. You know, I found myself, I found real friends finally. I was like getting in the groove of things instead of just going from show to show and having friends for 8 weeks the way you do in the theater world. It's much harder to form lasting, long-term relationships. Whereas if you're in an improv team that's desperate to not get cut, then you form this family because you're each other's life raft. You're all you've got. And I started to find my voice. I started to figure out who I was as a person and what I had to say and what sort of my brand was. And it was being a shitty, angry white dude who talked shit about people. And it was funny. People laughed at it. It was great, and I felt great. 2007 to 2011, however, that got old real fucking fast. I stalled out. I had friends. I went to see movies. I did shows. I was doing things, but I wasn't doing anything. I was just spinning my wheels. And I'm sure some of you have felt this too. This sense of like, I did it and we made it. Like someone mentioned earlier, the idea of like success. I think it was Larissa who said, becoming the thing that you're supposed to be and having that ultimate moment. There is no ultimate moment, you know? It was an odd time because nothing happened, and yet I was doing things all the time. I filled all that time, but I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't forcing myself to learn and to be open and to think. I got engaged to be married. I got disengaged to be married pretty quickly after that. And nothing was driving me forward anymore. I was still shitty and angry, and it wasn't funny if it ever really had been to begin with. It was probably just shocking and off-putting. So how do you remake yourself, 2012 to 2016 to now? You don't really. You don't. Maybe I'm more this or more that, but what you do is you learn to turn the volume up on certain things and down on other things. You learn that, like, yeah, that's part of me. I'm mad. I grew up in the Midwest, too, in central Illinois, and it's shitty, and people are shitty outside of the city because they're afraid of everything. And that is what we are facing right now, that people are afraid of everything, and they're mad, and they're fighting back. So what do I do? I turn that part of me down. I try to listen more. I try to be better about helping people and lifting people up and remembering that I have things that other people don't have. All of us here, no matter how shitty you feel, how poor you are, you have things that nobody else has. And I, through that process, learned to be a better person. And when I see old friends now, they're like, hey, what you all pissed off about? So I'm telling you something you're pissed off about. And I'm like, that's not really me anymore. I mean, I can do it. Every once in a while I get pissed off about something. And it's pretty funny still, but but it's not my default. It's not my go-to. And I have all these new friends. These new friends that are in this room right now and others who don't think about me that way, who don't think of me as shitty and angry. They think of me as positive and helpful and someone who like cares for people and is nurturing. So we've all got all of these aspects in us. So you have to just focus on what you want to be, what you want to be in this moment, and let yourself not be saddled by the things you have been up until this moment. And I'm very fortunate. Like Eric said, I have been part of these projects that have had a certain amount of success lately, and I am having a moment. It might take me away from this city that I love. Probably not. Probably everybody's going to quit giving a shit in like by this time next year. But it has allowed me to do things that I've never done before. And sometimes people respond to that by thinking, oh, that's so great. That's so awesome. That's so cool that you got to do that thing. And it is. It absolutely is. And I'm always so excited to like share that with people. But the other side of that coin is that all of you have those things. We all have those things already. It's just a certain set of circumstances. There's nothing to be jealous or angry about. I've had certain people come up to me and be like, oh, you're rolling in all this Earwolf money now. I go to a fucking job every day. I'm not rolling in anything. And you see, like, I've had this opportunity to see into a world that I couldn't see into before. And I see that they are exactly like us. That they are hustling to get by. They are trying to do things. And yes, they may be on TV. Yes, they may have a series. Yes, they've got their thing on Netflix. And then some of them are going to jobs. So these are all just moments. And your sense of success isn't as important as making the most of each of these moments. I'm not having a moment as a performer where I'm being noticed and things are happening for me. I was always having those moments. But now I'm going to learn to appreciate them, and I hope you all appreciate them too. Because each and every one of you here tonight who shared a story and who didn't have something unique and special about you. And I want to hear that from you. Thank you so much. Have your moment. 2017 is going to be hard. But we're going to do it. Because things are just going to keep getting better and better no matter what comes our way. Thank you.
Matt Young, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God. I love you, Matt. You are always, always welcome on this stage. Always. Thank you so much.